We're going to start tonight on, this is Priest's Garments Continued. Last week we talked on the priest's garments to start beginning with it. Tonight we're at the same scripture, but we're going to go on. And as you can see by the handouts, the pictures, this is going to go even deeper. We may get through one of your handouts. Exodus 28, verses 1 through 4 says, "From among the Israelites take your brother Aaron and his sons with him." That was selection. God chose. God didn't let them cast lots. God said, "This is who I want." Didn't he do that with us? "I choose you, now you choose me." "And his sons with him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make for Aaron your brother sacred garments, appointed official dress, set apart for holy services, for honor and for beauty. Tell them who are expert, whom I have endowed with skill and good judgment, that they shall make Aaron's garments to sanctify him for my priesthood. They shall make garments, a breastplate, an ephod, a distinctive vestment to which the breastplate was to be attached, a robe, long and sleeved tunic of checkerwork, a turban and a sash or band. They shall make garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons to minister me in the priest's office." If you go to your first picture, the slide here shows three garments. The one in the middle and the one on the right on your picture here and looking at the screen is just the front and back of this one garment. And this is the other. We're going to talk about these are called the golden garment. These are called the white garment. So when we're talking about that, just kind of refer to this. The high priest uniform has three separate categories of the priest uniforms. The high priest uniform, which he wears all year round, consists of eight garments called the golden garments. The clothing worn by the high priest on the Day of Atonement are the four garments called the white garments. And then the uniform of ordinary priests is also the four garments of the white garments. So if you catch that, let's go back to the picture. All year long, the priest looks like, the high priest looks like this. And what you see up here in his turban, you see the blue bands. That's how we'll talk about how the crown was attached, was by the one band across the top and the two bands around the back. And so it actually made a distinctive look. But we'll get to that at the end of this particular lesson. But this is what the other priests look like. Now, there's two different renditions that we talked about last week in the picture about the belt. It was either plain or it was ornate. And the ornate was linen and wool. And the Temple Institute put this together believing that it was a belt like this. And as you notice, it's a sash. Well, one thing I didn't mention about the belt, there was a number to the length of it. And I need to find that again and get back to you because it meant something. The length of it. It wasn't just you tied it around. Sometimes they tied it around their waist like this and just hang down. Well, other times the sash was up over their shoulders so it wouldn't get into anything when they were sacrificing. So the sash was the belt of truth that we read about in Ephesians. Gird your loins with the belt of truth. The other thing about this is this was considered the area of sexual immorality, and it separated the heart from that. Your loins gird about with truth, Ephesians. And so in that, there was symbolicness that this was separated from all of the heart and the intentions and the will and the mind. And so there was visual representation or visual separation as well as physical separation in the way they wore it. So as we go through the golden garments, the eight garments that are worn by the high priest all year are as follows. Keep looking at the picture there. The ephod, the breastplate, the robe, the tunic was the full thing, the turban, the belt, the crown, and the pants. And you can't see the pants because you weren't supposed to. But you've got the ephod, the tunic, the bells and the pomegranates down here, the turban, the crown. We're going to talk about various parts of it tonight. But only the high priest was allowed to wear this. Exodus 28:4 said, these are the garments described in these verses. That they make the garments, which they make a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a tunic, a checkered pattern, a turban, and a belt. They shall make them the sacred garments for your brother Aaron and the sons to serve me. You could not serve as high priest all year long unless you had on these garments. You were not in the office of high priest unless you had these on. Now, you only put them on in the temple. You didn't wear them home. Because remember that if one of the Levites that were the priests wore their other clothes out, it would consecrate and sanctify the people that they came in contact with. Even their garments showed that it was for forgiveness of sins. It was special. It wasn't common in every day. You had to go to the temple to see the high priest walking around in his garments, or to see the Levite priests in their garments as you caught them through the doorway walking inside the temple. You could see them moving around and doing various things unless you were there to have your sacrifice done. You didn't get the opportunity to just see them walking about. It was too holy. Because they weren't garments to show off to the people. They were garments to minister to God. You remember when, who was the king in Persia that said the handwriting on the wall? His son. And what about Ahasuerus with Esther? Those kings, they had all the garments and all the things that were stolen from the temple during the first exile. But during a drunken night, the king called for the beautiful robes of the high priest and put them on, because they were better than his. That's how beautiful these were. As we go through some of the things that it took to make this, you'll see how intricately woven. It wasn't just go down to the five and dime and pick me up a pair of pants. Or go down, go give me something off the rack. These were handmade for the person, but they were made in a special way. And I hope that what you start seeing they were made and how they were made and made of will start showing you aspects of God's message and Christ in these garments. We read 28:4, where it talked about those. And in verse 36 of that same Exodus 28 says, and you shall make a crown of pure gold and make them linen pants. And so those are the other parts of the high priest garment. Not every priest had the crown. They all had the linen pants and the robe and the sash. The white garments, the high priest wore those only on the Day of Atonement, and he had two pairs of them, one that he wore in the morning and one that he wore in the evening. It says that he shall put on linen, holy linen tunic, and shall have the linen pants upon his flesh. He shall be girded with the linen belt, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. You find that in Leviticus 16. If you want to go in depth with all this stuff, go read Leviticus. I mean, they tell you everything about it. But we're not going to go that deep into the article, because I want you to see Christ in it. These four garments that were worn by the high priest on the Day of Atonement, the tunic, the pants, the turban, and the belt, they're called the white garments. They're made of the white flax. And remember, each thread was six strands of thread. and then they were woven. Nothing from the tunic was sewn. It was woven together as one garment. That was a tube garment. You know how you make socks as a tube? These were woven with flax as a tube, with an opening for a hole, kind of like a chainmail garment opening. And at the garment opening, it wasn't sewn hem. It was woven back into itself to make a hem. The same at the bottom. Nothing was sewn except when there were sleeves attached. They would sew those onto it because you couldn't weave those the same. But it was woven as one garment. And what is the number six? The number of man. So every thread was six strands throughout that whole garment, and it was woven as one. There was no, well, look, we'll get over here and we'll rip it open at the seam. Isn't the body of Christ supposed to be one? Supposed to be together and no way to separate it? Amen? We are the body of Christ. We are clothed with his righteousness. It's not, well, his righteousness starts here, but it doesn't cover that. It covered from neck to feet, the complete body. We're covered in his righteousness. Amen? The high priest had two tunics which he wore on the Day of Atonement. After the conclusion of the Day of Atonement, he did not ever wear those garments again that he wore that day. So those white garments were made for him for one day. He had two sets made for that one day. So next year they had to make another two sets for him. Because when he took them off after having completed the Day of Atonement, he hid them in the room that he took them off in. And there they stayed, never to be worn again. Then he put on the high priest garments again. What did Christ do? He put his blood on the mercy seat. He performed that purpose. And then he came back to being our Lord. Because he came back to the man. He was able to come back to man because he came down and saw the disciples. They touched him. They felt him. They weren't allowed to touch the priest when he was in his duties. But he laid those down and then he came back. Amen? The verse in, was it Leviticus? Well, it was in verse 23. I don't have down here where I got this, but, and Aaron shall take, come into the tent of meeting. He shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and he shall leave them there. The only time the high priest was adorned with the same garments that all the other priests wore, he looked like any other priest in the temple because he wore the same garments, the white garments, was only on Yom Kippur. If you go to John 1:14, what's it say? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ put on the same garments that we wear every day. He put it on and walked this world looking like that so that he could be our sacrifice, so that he could make the propitiation for our sins. Amen? This has played out for 1,500 years in front of the people as rehearsal for what Christ was going to do. Hebrews, I'm going to put something in here because I've got these two out of, I don't have slides for these, but in Hebrews chapter 4. So I want to get back to that one. I've got Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we are a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, that's verse 14. And it goes on to say, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He became our high priest. He took off all of his godhood and laid it down and put on the same garment of man, walked this world, became our sin sacrifice, went and put his blood on the mercy seat as our high priest who has traveled through the heavens, and now he's seated. He's not in those garments right now. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. But the only person that could come before the throne of grace was the high priest, because he had to make propitiation for the nations. Christ did it once for all, so that now we can boldly go there because his blood's still there. It's not once every year anymore. It's forever. He did it so that you can come before the throne of grace. Let's go to Revelation 1:4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion and forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. There's something in this that ties into the high priest. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead. We know he rose from the dead. We have to believe that to be able to ask Jesus into our heart as Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And the ruler over all the kings of the earth. We serve him and not them. We serve him and we honor them because we serve him. We're his ambassadors. And we pray for them so that it be well for us in the land. But we serve him. And when we get our eyes on him, as we mentioned at the opening scripture, when we get our eyes on Christ, we have that peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When we truly get the idea that Jesus is our King, and then it goes on to say in verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. The garments of the priests, the white garments, are what you're wearing because you put on the righteousness of Christ. The garments of praise are yours. The garments that we take on in Ephesians 6, we call it the armor of God. Every one of those comes to this same kind of armor, this same kind of beautiful garment, because it all has purpose. We have on the garments of the high priest more than the priest itself, in that we have the righteousness of God in him, not because of us, but because he put us in that position. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are his body, and he is the high priest. So what garments do you wear? Are you walking worthy of what he's doing in you? Going back to the uniforms of the ordinary priests, they wear the four garments all year round, the same as the white garments worn by the high priest on the Day of Atonement, the tunic, the pants, the hat, and the belt. Referring to these priests, the verse states, and for Aaron's sons you shall make them tunics, and you shall make them for them belts, and you shall make them hats, and make them linen pants. See, all the other priests other than the high priest did not wear a turban, they wore hats. And you see that in the picture. You see the priest is wearing a turban, and the high priest is wearing the turban, and the others are wearing the pant or the hats. And there's a difference, because he is our high priest. This just clothes in all these. You read in Revelation, who are these arrayed in white? the saints. How does God see you? He doesn't see you freckle-faced and everything. He sees you arrayed in Christ's righteousness, just beautifully adorned. Go look at the most beautiful bridal dresses with all the soft filters and everything's just rose and beautiful white glimmer of a wedding gown on a beautifully portrayed dress. And just, I mean, even the lace on it and the pearls and everything cause different colorations. They're all white, but they cause texture and look. It's just gorgeous. And you see the bride come through the church for the first time and everybody goes, oh. Imagine when every one of the body of Christ comes before God dressed like that in the beautiful white robes of the saints. Breathtaking. Because we're arrayed that way. That's how he sees us. Because we have on the righteousness of Christ, not ours. Our righteousness is told that it's as filthy rags. But we take ours off and put his on. Amen? Christ, as I read in Revelation 1, Christ made us priests. He became our high priest. The high priest led what everybody did. They had their job to do, but he was in charge. He made sure everybody did what they were supposed to do. He's our high priest and we are priests under him. The rest of the nation couldn't come that close to the high priest. But the priests could. They were working right in and along with him and around him, ministering to the people and ministering to God. They were the ones that cleaned the lamps. They were the ones that baked the showbread and put it out there. They were the ones that performed the altar sacrifice of incense. They were the ones that did the sacrifice at the burnt altar and washed at the laver and did all the different tasks. And they got to walk with the high priest. Are you walking with your high priest? Because he made you priests and kings. Amen? The high priest in Israel dressed like this and fulfilled all of the actions that he was supposed to do, portraying Messiah all through the ages. We look back and we can see how that he fulfilled, he portrayed everything that the Messiah, suffering Messiah, had to portray and do to give us salvation. The high priest did it because it was his duty. He had to do it the right way or he died, because it was the most important part of the whole temple service, because Christ was going to perform that same thing in real life. Can you imagine a high priest in the 1,000 years temple is there, and he is going through everything, not because of fear I will die, but I don't want to mess up and miss anything that he did. I want to make sure I portray his life to the T. Total different aspect of I don't want to go in there because I'll die, to I want to honor him because I know what he did and what he did for me. Isn't that beauty in what was going on? But Christ portrayed it all. From God's point of view, watching, and the angels watching, they watched him walk through life as the high priest, performing all the different aspects of the service for us so that we can have a relationship with him. I'm getting ahead of myself. There were 5 different materials used to create the priestly garments. What is the number 5? Grace. If they're arrayed in garments of 6 strands of linen woven together, portraying man, and then God has 5 different materials used in the garments themselves, it's portraying grace all over the whole garment. Those 5 were gold, tekelet, which is sky blue, wool, dark red wool, crimson wool, and the white twisted wool. Gold is used in the King James Version 417 times. It wasn't just an afterthought. And think, these were ex-slaves that had all this gold to do all the stuff in the wilderness. They didn't have cities to go buy. They brought all this from Egypt. How's that for the unrighteous storing up to pour into the righteous? There's a lot, there's a whole sermon there, folks. They walked out with all the riches of Egypt because it was poured into them. The Tekelet, the sky blue wool, is the third primary color. And it is seen as representing the Word of God. You notice that the sea is usually a blue color, and the sky is a blue color on a beautiful day. It also represents the presence of God, Hashem. We'll talk about the blue and how precious that one is in a second. Going back to the gold, the yellow represents the glory of God and the judgment upon sin. The dark red wool, the Hebrew word for that red is odem, O-U-D-E-M, which means red clay or flesh. The name Adam, Esau, and Edom all come from that same word. So the dark red wool was reminiscent of man's flesh, came from clay. And this is in the garment. The crimson wool meant royalty. It meant the blood of the lamb that was slain for the sacrifices. It also meant atonement. These are things that the priest's garment was made of. And the twisted linen was made of was righteousness. And now we also understand the blood of, or the bride of Christ. Because that's who we are. Something about the gold, they would take the gold and it was beaten into thin sheets. Then those thin sheets were cut into fine threads. Then those threads were woven into the garment. What happened to Christ before he went to the cross? Not just for the stripes, but he was taken by the soldiers into the back and they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. The gold was beaten into thin sheets. It couldn't be stretched. It couldn't be poured that way or melted down into strands, into a form. It had to be beaten into a flat sheet and then cut into strips. Do you see Christ in this? Woven into the garment, the righteousness garment that the priest wore. Amen? The Tekelet, the blue, sky blue color by the Talmud, resembled an indigo. The dye was obtained from an aquatic invertebrate known as a, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, chilazon, C-H-I-L-A-Z-O-N. They don't know what this animal was. It was some kind of a fish because there's like seven or eight different things that it had to be. One is that it was the color of the sea. Huh? What color is the sea? That its shell grew with it. That it was, its blood was the ink. Or the ink in it was the dye, in other words. And it was so precious that the ink that they were able to extract from this was worth its weight in gold. It only came, these aquatic animals only came out every 70 years. And then they were easy to catch. But then they had to harvest the ink while it was still alive, or it would get impurities in it and it couldn't be used. To this day, you've seen Phil with his tekelet, his prayer shawl, he puts it on. On the four corners is supposed to be a blue strand with all of the other the wings, the other strands with the knots, there's supposed to be one at each corner, four blue ones. They have not been able to find that animal or reproduce and make sure it's the right one to be able to do that blue. So since then, they have not had that on there. The rest of it, the other parts, they've got right. But it was a different mitzvah that said this should be that way. So it doesn't invalidate the wearing of the tikkun. It does not give them all the blessing yet. And so they're still looking to try to find that. And there's up to three different animals, aquatic animals, that they believe it could be, but they can't do it the wrong way. So they won't do it until they find the right one. They've had various attempts to try to conclusively identify it. And most recently, they believe that a Mediterranean snail called the Murex tranquillus may be it. It fits some of the things. There's others that the, I forget what the name of it is now. I copied that. Let me go here. I apologize. This is going to take a bit, but I had a, what was the name of that fish? I got this. The things that had to be, let me go back to that. The source of the dye is the chelazon. The color of its body is like the sea. Its form is like a fish. It comes up once in 70 years. Its blood is used for teklet. It is expensive. Those are the six things they had to follow. There's others, but those are the main six things. How do you figure that out? The rabbis can't figure out what exactly that animal is yet. They do think, though, I'm trying to, well, what did I do with the other pieces of it? Yep. They were looking at this Murex tranquillus shells. It's a mollusk type of a fish. They're not so certain whether it is or isn't. There's other fish that they were looking at. Cuttlefish is another one that they're thinking it might be. And so they're really looking at it. I mean, they're looking at it deeply to try to figure this out because they want that and they need to have that for the temple. So the high priest's garment can be correct because you can't do the blue without it. Now, one of these, it colors blue. The other, it's a reddish purple, but when you put it into sunlight, it turns blue. While it's still drying on the wool, it'll turn blue. And so they're not sure which one it is, but they're looking very hard to identify it. The dark red color, said by some to be more closely to resemble purple, eragamon in Hebrew, is also derived from a snail, possibly the Murex tranquillus as well. According to the theory, the difference in color is a product of the amount of time the substance is initially exposed to sunlight. So they're really working hard to get all this down so they're not dyeing it with vegetable dyes and things, that they're doing it the same way God said to do it, so that it's right. Otherwise, if they did have the Ark of the Covenant and it was wrong and he goes in there, he dies. And their sacrifice is invalidated. They want to be right. They're trusting God that much. God was that intricate. The people did all this in the desert. In the desert. The crimson color is produced from a worm called by the Bible, the crimson worm, Taloat Shanai in Hebrew. It's a mountain worm which is identified as a Kermes biblicus, the conchlio insect. And so they actually take that worm and it's got to be crushed to get that crimson color. What happened to Christ? We sing a gospel hymn about being a worm, such a worm as I. The Hebrew word which appears here for linen is shesh, which literally means six. It indicates that each thread used in these garments is required to be a six-ply linen thread. Some of the garments were composed of all five of the ingredients, and some contained three or four, or some only one. Let's go to the slide that has the breastplate and part of the ephod. If you look on yours, you see some of these white and blue and red, and you can't see it in here as much, but there's actually gold thread as part of what you're seeing in this checkerboard pattern. If you can go just to the breastplate picture. Each of these stones had a setting, and they were attached. My screen, back out. That's like, you might see it better, but I can't. They were attached with the gold threads. Each of these stones, you can kind of see a little bit on some of them, have the name of the tribe engraved on it as an engraver's work, the name actually on the stones. And all this was woven without being sewn. It was woven that way. That's intricate. The ephod and the breastplate were made of all five materials. So the ephod and the breastplate just represents grace. And on the breastplate, you had the children of Israel, the tribes of Israel. They were floating on a garment of grace year after year. Dates regarding these, and they shall make the ephod of gold, sky blue, dark red, crimson dyed wool, and twisted linen. And you shall make the breastplate of judgment, the work of an artist. After the manner of the ephod, you shall make it of gold, sky blue, dark red, crimson, dyed wool, and twisted linen. You shall make it. The belt was three different types. The high priest's year-round belt, the one he wore with the gold garments, it was embroidered of sky blue, dark red and crimson dyed wools, and twisted linen. In Exodus 39:29 says, "And a belt of fine twisted linen and sky blue, dark red and crimson dyed wools, the work of an embroiderer." So you had the linens and the rest of it was embroidered through there to the point where it was nothing would come apart. The belt worn by the high priest on the Day of Atonement, one of the white garments, was made only of six-ply linen, as the verse states, and he shall be girded with a linen belt. And the belt of the ordinary priest regarding these, there are two opinions among the scholars. Some maintain that it was the same belt belonging to the golden garments, and that's what was portrayed in the first picture, or it may be the same as the white garments where it was just a linen belt. So they're not sure because they disagree. And I've got that picture of those the second time in that slide deck. In Exodus 28:31-35 says, "Make the robe to be worn beneath the ephod all of blue. There shall be a hole in the center of it to slip over the head, with a binding of woven work around the hole, like the opening of a coat of mail or a garment, that it may not fray or tear." The only time that they would tear a garment was in bereavement. They would rip their garments to show great grief. How can you show great grief face to face with Almighty God? You were not supposed to show, and you see this in Esther and in Nehemiah and different Ezra. Ezra was had his face, countenance was down, and the king says, "What's wrong with you?" And he was concerned because you're not supposed to be sad in front of the king. Well, you can't, if that's the way it is with a human king, how is it with Almighty God? The priest walks in with his robe torn. What's the matter with you? You stand in front of them to make atonement for them. You can't be grieving. Let them grieve. You are my emissary in front of them. And so they had to make the garment even so it couldn't be torn. I wonder how hard it was for Caiaphas to tear his high priestly robes when did Christ blasphemed. He maybe had to work at it. Pulled out a knife, made a little cut. Hey, I'm going to make this going to be dramatic. Set it up ahead of time. Men have done that. Starting with verse 33, and you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet around about its skirts with gold bells between them. A gold bell and a pomegranate, a gold bell and a pomegranate round about on the skirts of the robe. Aaron shall wear the robe when he ministers, and its sound shall be heard when he goes alone into the Holy of Holies before the Lord, and when he comes out, lest he die there. The robe was decorated with pomegranates that were made from three materials: sky blue, dark red, and crimson red wools. The Trinity. The sky blue, we already mentioned, the presence of God. It's also his word, because it said if you... Numbers tells us to... I don't think I mentioned that earlier, did I? In Numbers 15, 38, and 34, it says if you... talks about making these, and then it says that you keep my commandments. The sky blue wool was to show that you would keep the commandments. So it's the word, and it's the dark red, which is the flesh, and the crimson, which is the atonement. The word became flesh and became our atonement for man's flesh. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God's atonement for us. Christ the Son and the Holy Spirit, his presence. The priest wore this as he walked. Amen? Are you dressed in the same? Are you putting on the same garments? Praise. The bottom of the robe was also decorated with bells. These bells and the high priest's crown were both made of pure gold exclusively. A golden bell and a pomegranate on the bottom of the robe all around, and you shall make it of pure gold. Exodus 28, 34, and 36. Let's go to the... You see the beautiful blue, red pomegranates with the bells in between. See, the bells don't clang together. So it's not clang, 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 clang. A noisy gong and a cymbal. We hear that in 1 Corinthians 13. It was a light melodic sound because it was buffered. If you take a hammer and you open up a piano and you start beating on the back of it, you get noise beating on the strings. But each of the hammers that go to the keys has a felt covering, and it gives a note that even if you hold the key down and the hammer stays against it, it doesn't deaden the note. It's still melodic. But with a hammer, you get the metal strike and the bending of the metal and the crash. And so it's a different sound. God doesn't have crash, bang, boom. He has melodies, harmonies, worship. And even the priest walking was probably a very melodic little sound. The robe was made exclusively of sky blue wool. And you shall make the robe of the ephod completely of sky blue wool. Its threads were 12 ply. Let's go to the picture of the, there we go. This part here was 12 ply. It wasn't just six. It was woven as of 12 strands and then woven together. And it was all blue. And that's where the pomegranates and the bells would attach. We've already said that they can't have the high priest's robe without that blue. It's in every one of the garments except for the white. They're working hard to get it. This was dyed, and they mentioned that, because they're still working hard to get the other. But you imagine how much dye it would take to do that much, to make that much of a garment, plus all of the thread for all of the rest of the ephod, the breastplate, the pomegranates. And it was expensive, worth its weight in gold. These were ex-slaves that put this together at God's command. You say, I don't have anything. They didn't one day and they did the next. God provided it. I want to go to something here. I think I have it back here. There's no way I can get to all this. I want to go back to Hebrews 4. We know that Christ is our high priest now. Well before Christ ever died on the cross, well before he was ever born, only 430 years after they went into captivity, they were creating these garments. Hebrews 4:14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, the best high priest that ever was, better than any that had ever walked this earth, and they had to be pretty good at what they did, because you don't hear of a bunch of them dying. Even Eli, who died in died at heart attack when he heard that the ark was taken, didn't die when he went before the throne of grace. That shows you God's grace, because, see, he wasn't doing right. His sons weren't doing right. He still was able to perform the sacrifices necessary for Yom Kippur every year, that he didn't die when he went in. God's grace was poured out on him and the children of Israel. God's grace goes beyond what we think is, oh, well, I deserve it. Yeah, you might have deserved it, but Christ took it. We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. He didn't just put his blood on the mercy seat on this earth. He didn't go find the one here that was hidden and put it there. He put it on the one in heaven, in front of the face of his Father, and made atonement forever for all of us. Passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That right there, just that right there, that because he is such a high priest and he's gone and done that, let us hold fast what we're confessing to, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that he has saved us from our sins. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. In other words, he knows everything we're going through. We're saying, nobody understands. Oh yeah, Jesus does. He knows better than we know that he knows. He sympathized with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. We all know where we fail God. Sometimes we fail him in the morning. Sometimes we fail him at night. Sometimes we fail him because we forgot to spend time with him, or maybe we did or said something that was offensive or that was sin. And we think, oh, but that's already been forgiven. But if you look at it one step beyond that, yeah, and that's one of the sins that kept him on the cross. I'm so sorry, God. Yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly. We don't have to worry about having a rope tied around us to be yanked back out of God's presence if we die. Come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Grace and help in time of need. Do you need help? Do you need something from God? He said, if you've got the blood of Jesus on you as Lord and Savior, He is there to fulfill that need. I will supply all your needs through His riches in Christ's glory. The high priest wore this every day except for Yom Kippur. And he was portraying Christ until he came. Messiah until he came. But now Christ is arrayed that way. And we are His priests, His kings and priests in this world. Do you have on your priestly garments? Do you have on the garments of praise? Do you find yourself clothed in all of Christ? Amen. Let's walk in them. Let's walk in them. Father God, I just pray for everyone here and anyone listening online, that anyone who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they will cry out and ask for you to forgive them of their sins, to become Lord and Savior so that they can be able to come before the throne of grace with boldness. And I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we would see Christ in a new light as our King, that He's made us priests and kings to go out here and to minister to those who can't come near you until they can. Lord, I ask you to bless each and every one of us, to let this word go deep, that we chew on it and we see the priesthood in a new manner, that we see the garments of praise and the garments of the priest and the high priest, that it was showing forth Christ and His righteousness and His redemption all through the ages. Lord, let us be worthy of being your kings and priests in Jesus' name. Amen. Did anybody have any needs tonight? Let's do the Brigit Kohen name, but let's do it different tonight. Let's do it the way the Israelites used to do it. Let's stand as He puts His name on us in the priestly blessing. First in Hebrew and then in English.
Yeverich echad Adonai ve'yishmurecha Yad Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha Yesa Adonai panav elecha v'sham lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, as He puts His name on you, go and be blessed. Amen.